Today's scripture is excuse me, John 2, 13 through 16. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of the cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. This is one of those. Yeah, wow, lots of coins there. This is one of those passages that is very, very familiar. We know about Jesus getting angry. This is often something that comes up when we're talking about, is it okay to be angry? He was clearly angry. Just like any mom whose kid's room is a mess, this place is a dump. And he gets more than firm. I mean, he's throwing over the tables. He's throwing out the animals. He's got a cat of nine tails. He's threatening. He's really, really serious about this. And this is one of those events that's related in all four Gospels. We're reading it this morning from John, and there's a significant difference in John's gospel, and that is not so much in the story itself as in the timing of the story. This is in chapter 2. The thing that we hear immediately before this is the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turns jars and jars and jars of water into really wonderful fine wine in celebration of this wedding. And now we have this story of Jesus going into the temple, and where he's just been promoting a party. He sees something that looks like I don't know, a market, and he just loses his temper and throws everything out. In all other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this particular event is at the very end of his ministry. It's the straw that breaks the Pharisees' back. I mean, he's come in and thrown all this stuff around, and that's the final straw for them. Here, it's at the very beginning of his ministry. The first thing he does in John's account is the wedding at Cana, where he turns water into wine, and this comes immediately after that. It sets the stage for everything that comes later. He comes in and he clears the temple of what shouldn't be there. And the Pharisees, of course, demand to know what right he has to do this. And that leads to one of his statements that looks forward to the very end of the gospel. He says, "This temple could be destroyed and I can rebuild it. Not only can I clean it, I can rebuild it." Because, as our affirmation of faith said, this is the one who created all things. In him, everything was created. And so at the very beginning, he is concerned with the sanctity of the temple, and he is looking forward to the ultimate replacement of the temple. Tear down this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And of course, the disciples know later, and we know from John, that he's talking about the temple of his body, which is the replacement for the temple in Jerusalem. See, the problem with the temple in Jerusalem was exactly that. It was in Jerusalem and nowhere else. So the thing to know is, what's the history behind these temple merchants? You might think that they just muscled their way in there and started up this business of selling animals, changing coins. Why would they do that? Why would they get away with that? Jesus gets mad. He comes in and throws them out. In fact, the money changers have a solid scriptural basis for what they're doing. The sellers of doves and sheep and cattle are in accord with the Ten Commandments, which is actually one of our other scriptures for this morning. The idea of temple worship included sacrifice. And the Old Testament, the books of Moses, lay out all the rules for sacrifice, what kind of animals get sacrificed in what kind of situations, Thanksgiving sacrifices, sin sacrifices, goodwill sacrifices, all these things, and what kind of animals would be used. Remember when Jesus was taken to the temple as an infant to be dedicated, the parents brought their turtle doves because they were poor parents. And so the law laid out an equitable requirement for people. And the law also requires that these lambs be unblemished for sacrifice, that they be the firstborn. It's very specific requirements. And now here we are, where there's one temple, it's in Jerusalem, and anybody who wants to make a sacrifice, anybody who wants to come and engage in this kind of worship, must come from wherever they are, from the territory of Dan, from Beersheba, wherever. They have to come in to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And that requires travel. Now, they may have brought their sheep with them. I don't know about the turtle doves, but they may not have brought their animals with them. And so they would need to be provided with animals. And if they did bring their animals, maybe they picked their firstborn goat, and maybe they made sure that it was completely without blemish. And maybe they set out on their journey and the goat had some kind of an accident and then had a broken leg and was no longer perfect. They would need a replacement. And by the time of Jesus, there were multiple money systems. There was the coin that had Caesar's head on it, and there were also the temple coins. And you wouldn't want to give what is Caesar's to the temple. And so you have to have money changers to change your secular coins into temple coins. And many of us know what happens when you have an exchange of money. Somebody's going to make a profit from it. And of course, these other sellers of animals were also into making a profit. Originally, it was for a good purpose. It was worthwhile. It was helpful. People would come, they would get their sacrifices, they would go into the temple, make their sacrifices. Everything was great. But of course, people began to figure out that they could make a little extra. They could maybe make a lot extra. And maybe they could even set up a business of inspection and say, I know you thought that this lamb was perfect, but look at this flaw here. This lamb is not good enough for sacrifice. So you better just buy another one. These are pre-selected lambs here that we have available for you at a price. So the market is only bad because it has become an obstruction, an oppression to worship. Not so much because the animals were there defiling the temple courts, but because what was happening was a distraction. It was something that reduced the access to worship, reduced the worship experience, did not enhance worship like it was supposed to do. So when we read this, we tend to have a couple of typical reactions to it. One is, well, those churches, those big churches that have franchise coffee shops in their entryway, they're doing this thing, they're wrong. Or we might have another response, which is, well, yeah, I know that we're selling stuff in the church on Sunday morning, but we're doing it for a good reason. We're doing it to support our missionaries in wherever, and that's why we're having this bake sale. Both of them miss the point. The point is worship. The point is always worship. That is the one thing that sets us apart as a church, that sets the temple apart as an institution. Worship of God. That's why we come. That's why we're there. That's why people come to make sacrifice in the time of Jesus. That's why people come with their prayers and their offerings, and their ears open today. There are a lot of things that can get mistaken for the church and the worship that happens in the church. There are lots of good and helpful organizations. There are social clubs that connect us to one another. There are service organizations that do good things for people in need. There are educational institutions that help us to grow intellectually and emotionally and physically. None of those things are bad, and none of those things are the church. None of those things are worship. So what does it mean for us to not turn the church into a marketplace? It's not just a matter of what we do in our lobby, what we do in the narthex, what we do in the parking lot on Sunday morning. It's a matter of, are we promoting worship? Are we focused on worship? Is what we do leading us to better and deeper worship? We come and we receive and we give, and it's not a market. It's not $5 for a pair of doves. It's not even $100 for the pastor to come visit when I'm in the hospital. It's a relationship with God. If you're in a relationship, you give and you receive freely without keeping track, without counting the cost, without making sure that things are equal. Because things are never equal between us and God. God is the bigger giver, always. And in response, we give also. This is God's house. Jesus says, don't make my Father's house a place of worship. Don't make my Father's house anything that it isn't. This is a Communion Sunday, and one of the things that we say on Communion Sunday is, this is the Lord's table. This is not Mountainside's table. This is not the pastor's table. This is not even the United Methodist table. This is the Lord's table. This is the table of Jesus in which he offers himself to us. And our offering is to come and to receive and to worship and to give as our hearts require and as our conscience dictates in worship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.